Briar Rabbit is a character rooted not only in Gullah culture, but also in the oral tradition of the Akan people of West Africa. And now we will read you the tale of Briar Rabbit and the Tar Baby. Briar Fox hated Briar Rabbit on account of he was always cutting capers and bossing everyone around. So Briar Fox decided to capture and kill Briar Rabbit if it was the last thing he ever did. He thought and he thought until he came up with a plan. He would make a tar baby. Briar Fox went and got some tar, and he mixed it with some turpentine, and he sculpted it into the figure of a cute little baby. Then he stuck a hat on the tar baby and sat her in the middle of the road. Briar Fox hid himself in the bushes near the road, and he waited and waited for Briar Rabbit to come along. At long last, he heard someone whistling and chuckling to himself, and he knew that Briar Rabbit was coming up over the hill. Now we will leave you all in suspense to learn what happens to Briar Rabbit, just like Uncle Remus, the storyteller in the Briar Rabbit series, would have done. Shortly after the Civil War ended, Joel Chandler Harris, a white journalist, created a series of Southern American tales using a character representing a former slave, Uncle Remus, to tell the stories. Eventually, these stories would become known as the Briar Rabbit Tales. These stories became so popular in American culture that Harris was even invited to the White House by Teddy Roosevelt, who was a great fan of them. The excerpt you just heard is from one of the most beloved and well-known tales of Briar Rabbit, Briar Rabbit and the Tar Baby.
The widespread acknowledgement and retelling of the Briar Rabbit stories speak to the dispersion of African slaves and the strong oral tradition sustained during the transatlantic slave trade. In West African culture, griots were entrusted with a recounting of historical events and were considered very prestigious. One of the most important roles of the griot, which was even more crucial during the displacement of African people throughout the Americas, was their ability to use historical knowledge to unify and bring togetherness among African people. A combination of historian, learned storyteller, and entertainer, griots memorized the history and the genealogy of the village, dating back centuries. The Briar Rabbit stories can be traced back to the trickster figure in Akan traditions of the West African culture, particularly the Kweku Anansi spider and the hare Kalulu. Within popular American incarnation, Briar Rabbit represents the enslaved African who uses his wits to overcome circumstances whilst accepting revenge on his oppressors, who were the white slave owners. Though not always successful, his efforts made him a folk hero. The word bear in his name and in those of other characters in the stories reflects the habit of addressing another man as brother in many African cultures. While modern Americans generally pronounce the second R in brer, the original pronunciation was bra or ba. The American version of the story is said to have originated among slaves at Laura Plantation in Vacherie, Louisiana. While Joel Chandler Harris spelled brer with an ER at the end of the word, he was indicating the Southern pronunciation of the final ER in brother, sister, or farmer. Briar Rabbit stories give us the opportunity to study culture exchange and the study of literary motifs, which enhance our understanding of cultural survival.
Briar Rabbit symbolizes an important representation of both African and African-American slave culture. Notably thought of as a signifier and representation of an extreme, grotesque, and often necessary form of behavior, Briar Rabbit holds an important place and value in representing life's struggles as well as an example of how to cope with daily tribulations. As mentioned, Briar Rabbit plays the role of the trickster, a common persona found in fables and folktales. Although Briar Rabbit encompasses less than admirable human traits, such as greed, violence, and foolishness, the trickster has a place in helping people deal with the inevitable paradox and irony in their lives. In Gullah fables, tales of trickster animals often follow the formula of the weak defeating the powerful and provided an emotional outlet for relief. He depends on his intellect and mental superiority to outwit the larger, more powerful animals, which can be read as representations of the white slave owners. In fact, some have even gone as far as to suggest that Briar Rabbit is a representation of the black slave's alter ego. Briar Rabbit tales often capitalize on the use of his intellectual prowess, as well as family and community values, key factors of both African and slave culture. Although Briar Rabbit is often represented as selfish and sometimes conniving, even he has his moments of kindness. Ultimately, it is said best by Margaret Baker, who suggests that the importance of the trickster character in slave and African cultures is that the trickster figure shows their audience that they are neither totally victims nor victors, but that they may capitalize on their own weaknesses to build strengths for coping with life. In the end, this may be the most important message of the trickster, that each person has the power to deal with the inconsistencies and inequities of life, no matter what those may turn out to be.
Saints Brer Rabbit is attributed to the Gullah peoples, who lived on the Sea Islands. The islands are located off the coast of South Carolina and extend down Georgia's coast to the northeastern shores of Florida. In the 18th century, the Sea Islands were home to numerous rice plantations, where enslaved Africans were brought to live and work. Due to the tropical nature of the islands, it made for an ideal location to produce rice. American plantation owners looked to purchase slaves from rice-producing climates on the west coast of Africa, many of whom came from Sierra Leone. The climate, while excellent for the cultivation of rice, also fostered the growth and spread of tropical diseases. For this reason, plantation owners spent little time at the plantations, giving Gullah slaves little interaction with whites. Due to their isolation, the Gullah maintained many aspects of their African heritage. By the 1700s, the Gullah people developed a distinct language, customs, and rituals that derived from the slaves' African origins. While storytelling is the most widely known aspect of Gullah culture, the peoples have a rich history of customs and traditions. Like Gullah's religion, their language, crafts, stories, and traditions incorporated beliefs and practices from many regions of the coast of West Africa, as well as those of white plantation owners.
More contemporary interpretations of Brer Rabbit have neglected his character flaws and framed him as a more lovable trickster. Disney's 1946 film Song of the South is a synthesis of several different Brer Rabbit fables, all told from the soothing perspective of Uncle Remus. In these stories, Brer Rabbit uses devious strategies, such as reverse psychology, to get what he wants, but he is portrayed as less of a rascal than a paragon of how intellect can help achieve your desired ends. Brer Rabbit continues to be a staple of the Disney empire, appearing in films as recent as Who Framed Roger Rabbit in 1988, and creating the themes for several Disneyland thrill rides. He has also been referenced in various other mediums of pop culture, ranging from the 1998 film Star Trek Insurrection to the song Briar Patch by the rapper Devin the Dude. Brer Rabbit's legacy will continue to live on not only in these means, but as a general blueprint for all trickster stories.
Now back to the story. We left off, if you remember, with old Briar Rabbit bounding up the hill, unaware of the trap that Briar Fox had set up. As he reached the top, Briar Rabbit spotted the cute little tar baby. Briar Rabbit was surprised. He stopped and stared at the strange creature.
"Good morning,"
said Briar Rabbit, doffing his hat.
"Nice weather we're having."
The tar baby said nothing. Briar Rabbit frowned. This strange creature was not very polite. It was beginning to make him mad.
"Ahem,"
said Briar Rabbit loudly, wondering if the tar baby was deaf.
"I said, how are you this morning? I can't stand folks that are stuck up. You take off that hat and say howdy do, or I'm going to give you such a lickin'."
The tar baby just sat in the middle of the road, looking as cute as a button and saying nothing at all. He took a swing at the cute little tar baby, and his paw got stuck in the tar. Once Briar Rabbit had gotten himself completely stuck in the tar due to his anger at the tar baby, Briar Fox thought he had finally caught his prey. But Briar Rabbit, using reverse psychology, pleaded with Briar Fox to go ahead and do anything he wanted, but not to throw him into the briar patch. Grabbing up the tar-covered rabbit, Briar Fox swung him round and around, and then flung him head over heels into the briar patch. Briar Rabbit fell into the briar bushes with a crash and a mighty thump. Then there was silence. Briar Fox cocked his one ear towards the briar patch and heard nothing. Then Briar Fox heard someone calling his name. He turned around and looked up at the hill. Briar Rabbit was sitting on a log combing the tar out of his fur with a wood chip and looking smug.
"I was born and bred in the briar patch, Briar Fox,"
he called, and Briar Rabbit skipped away as merry as a cricket, while Briar Fox ground his teeth in rage and went home. To some who interpret the tale through a modern viewpoint, the tar baby story seems to have evolved into a racist stereotype. Instead, the story should be viewed as empowering, as it celebrates the inequity of the slave and the determination to be free at any cost. Whether you choose to sit back and enjoy Briar Rabbit as a merely more realistic tale, or understand it as stories that would have been meaningful to slaves on plantations, reminiscing about their African roots, it's up to you.